Chicago-based musician Terry Collier, a pioneer in combining folk, soul, and jazz in the 60s and 70s, passed away this past Saturday, October 27th, from cancer. Collier had a revival in the 90s when musicians like Massive Attack and Beth Orton fell in love with his music, and he began recording again, releasing Time Piece in 1998. This interview is from 1998, recorded at the Andy Warhol Museum in Pittsburgh. I asked Terry Collier what he thought about songwriting pertaining to his new song, Lazarus Man.
All of these things are gifts as far as I'm concerned. If we go into the whole story, then you would know that I actually make a living as a computer programmer. I still have that job, and I've had it since 1983, when I kind of had to turn away from music and try to provide an environment that would be nurturing for my daughter. And so from 1983 until, 1996, I wasn't in the studio at all. And all of these things are, as far as I'm concerned, gifts that, you know, people ask me sometimes, hey, did you write that? And if I'm not really paying attention, I'll say, yeah, sure I did. But actually, these songs are kind of being transmitted through me. I used to have difficulty saying things like that until I saw an interview with John Fogerty, who wrote most of the songs for Creedence Clearwater. And he said the same thing. To paraphrase him, he mentioned that when he was writing his best things, they just happened, they just flowed. And when they were finished, he was as surprised as anyone else. And Lazarus Man is a prime example of that. This is a song that tells the story of the resurrection, of Jesus bringing Lazarus back from the dead. But it's told from Lazarus's point of view. And it also implies that he may still be alive, because if Jesus, peace be upon him, bid somebody to rise, then how could they ever lay down again? And that's part of the miracle. And there are many, many legends of men and women who have lived through long periods of time. And this is part of that. The Lazarus Man. I met a young man on the Skeleton Coast. He was out on his feet, pale as a ghost. When I asked him his name, he said, Lazarus, man. I come to your country from a faraway land. And I can't quite remember the last time when I was on shore. Could have been 12 years, but it might have been more. But I've seen tribulation staggered my mind. I can't quite remember what I come here to find. And it's wind on the ocean, rain on the land, three drops of water, one grain of sand. I'll tell you the story just as quick as I can, 'cause I got nothing but time. That's what's sweet. That I died. I was stumbling and rising.
had 1 foot in glory, 1 foot in hell. On one side the garden, and on one side the flame. And I thought I heard somebody call out my name. Hey, somebody was saying, Lazarus, arise! So I sat up, opened my eyes. You know, I wanted to dance, but I didn't have room. So I threw off the sheets and walked out of the tomb. Yes. Wind on the ocean, rain on the land, 3 drops of the water and 1 grain of sand. I tell you the story just as quick as I can, cause I got nothing but time. Oh,
times. I got nothing but time.
Nothing but time.
Time. I got nothing but time.
Nothing but time.
Time. I got nothing but time.
Those of you here in the Warhol can probably figure this out already if you look at Penn and his Bulls cap, that these folks are from Chicago. And Chicago, to me, is so important in your music, Terry. I mean, that you know, you think of Chicago, you think of the blues, but there's a huge jazz scene, there's a huge R&B scene. But you chose the folk scene, which is equally as big in Chicago. How did you end up taking that path early on?
It was a lot bigger when I started. The folk scene, I mean, was truly huge in Chicago. And I went to, I signed with Chess Records just before I graduated from high school. And I did a recording for them that was released and put on the radio.
That first album is known among music aficionados for a very unusual instrumentation that you used on it, which was not one bass, not double bass, but I guess, you know, double bass. You used two bass players on it. Why did you do that?
The reason for that was I had been listening to John Coltrane from about 1964 when I first saw him live and up till today. And on some of his earlier recordings, he had used two bass players. And when Samuel Charters came to me in one of the clubs in Chicago and asked if I wanted to do an album, of course I said yes. And he said, well, there won't be much of a budget, so you can use two other musicians. And the first thing that came to my mind was two bass players. And that album was originally released, and originally it was an album. You know, this is pre-CD. It was released as the new folk sound of Terry Callier, and it's been reissued, at least in England and Europe on CD, on Ace Records, and you know your local record shop can probably order it for you.
Do you? Is anything from those days still in your repertoire?
No. I mean, nothing that I could do right now.
Right,
actually.
Right.
I mean, there's
Well, you seem to have had like distinct periods in what you've done. You went on to do a couple more albums with Cadet, and were those the albums that are started getting big in England most recently?
Some of the music from those albums was eventually rediscovered, and it was a surprise to me because I had no idea, and all of a sudden I received a phone call from a man named Eddie Piller, who owned a label called Acid Jazz Records, and he says, "Look, if we release some of this stuff, it'll be well for you, you know." And I said, "Okay, fine." And we came to an agreement. He released a couple of sides, and lo and behold, it took off like new music, better than new music actually, because there was nothing happening as far as my musical career was concerned in the States. But then all of a sudden, all these things were happening in the UK and Europe, and it was amazing. Continues to the day, actually.
One of the ways that your music came to attention to a lot of people was through somebody who was actually just a fan in England, was singer Beth Orton.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
You ended up doing some recording with her. And one of the things you did cut was an old Fred Neil tune. Whose choice was that? How did that work out?
Actually, Beth's record company wanted her to released something between Trailer Park and her next CD, which she's just finishing up now. And it was decided that she would do an EP, like a smaller version of a CD with only four tracks on it, and that she wanted to do two duets with me. One was called The Dolphins by Fred Neil, and one was called Lean On Me, which was from one of the original Cadet albums that I did in the 70s.
Let's get back to Timepiece, because there's so many things on here I'd love to have you be able to do for us today. One of the songs that immediately leaped off the record for me was Keep Your Heart Right. It's such a beautiful song and such a beautiful sentiment. There's so much spirituality that is in your music, but it seems to be kind of a pan-spirituality. You seem to be draw from all different religions. Is that fairly accurate?
That's more than accurate. Every world religion that has a book of some kind in English, I've tried to read it, and so I that's all I want to say about that.
Where does your name Talil come from?
Talil is a name that I from a group called the Sufis. This is actually it's Tasawuf, but the Sufi is the popular and most common name, and the name that most people recognize. Perhaps the most well known of these groups is the group that's led by Pir Inayat Khan, who has been trying to help us with our spirituality for, I don't know, maybe 40 or 50 years. But he's head of the Sufi order in the West, and some of you may have heard of that. But the Sufi, S-U-F-I, in general, believe that it is still possible to have not just a passing relationship with the Creator, but a meaningful relationship with the Lord of the worlds. But as an adjunct to that, or as a necessary part of that, you have to also have a lot of heart for humanity. And some people concentrate on one more than the other. There are people who work for the good of society. There are people who work for the good of the religion. But you have to try to do both. And at least keep your heart in the right place, and keep your heart right speaks to that. Without, it's difficult sometimes when artists write songs that express sentiments about everything's going to be okay and it's going to work out for you and this and that and the other thing. And generally speaking, when those songs are over, when those artists finish performing, the people are still in the same situation. They're still facing the same problems, and they still have the same things weighing on them that were weighing on them in the beginning. See? So what keep your heart right is saying that, well, okay, now this may not heal, this may not make you rich, this may not even change your circumstances, but if you keep your heart right, then things will move favorably for you, and I'm a witness to that. If you believe, and if you pray, and if you don't let it get you down, you can work it. You can work it. Keep your heart right. Keep your heart right.
Keep Your Heart Right, Terry Collier. That was recorded at the Andy Warhol Museum in 1998. Collier passed away from cancer on Saturday, October 27th. He was 67. We'll be back in a moment on the World Cafe.